Welcome to Powering Through Life, and I'm your host, Teresa Sims. Each week on Powering Through Life, my guest and I will discuss a special topic that is close to their heart. Together, we will explore the challenges they have faced in life and learn what strategies and tools they have used to power through their life. So welcome to Powering Through Life. Hi, and welcome to today's show. And my guest is Linda Zbanko, and she's an incredible human being that I've known for about a year and a half now. And she has made such an incredible change in my life. So I wanted to bring Linda on so she can share her wonderful story with you. So I'm going to read Linda's bio. So it took a two-decade autoimmune disorder, battling cancer three times. Ugh. Moving on from a difficult first marriage and the threat of losing her livelihood after a 30-year career in the auto industry before my next guest was ready to make a change in life. Linda was incredibly shy, having no business background and very little self-esteem. She took a risk and retired to enter the world of entrepreneurism. What a brave lady you are, my friend.
And big change.
Focusing on her own personal development first, she found she had a natural skill for making people feel at ease and began helping others to build large networking communities for bottom line profit. And that's fantastic. So as Linda's confidence grew, she began shifting with a desire to be of a deeper service to people, understanding how anxiety and fear can hold you back from living your life. She wanted to help others make significant changes in their lives also. Her strong faith walk led her to a new direction. Please welcome my incredible guest today, Christian coach and mentor, ordained minister, professional speaker, trainer, and author, Linda Zbanko. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you so much, Teresa. It's wonderful to be here. I really appreciate you asking me to come on.
I'm so excited that we got to do this because I know you have an incredible story, and I know it will, in this day and age and any time, really make a difference and inspire other people. So your topic today is triumph over challenge.
Yes.
Which I really like. That's a fascinating topic. So tell us a little bit about the topic first.
Well, the topic really says it all. You know, we all have challenges. Life is challenging. There's nothing that we can do to get away from that. Things come up. But we have to find a way to have victory with that. So we have to find our triumphs. They might be little ones. They might be bigger ones. But everything has to take a step, and everything has to take a step to move forward so that we have those triumphs so that we can find our victory and really live the life we want to live.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So true. Absolutely so true. So tell me what life was like dealing with so many challenges that you've had in your past. And I know we've talked about them before, but you managed during that time to work and raise a family. How did that work? Like, how did you manage, my dear?
You know, I think I was really brought up, you know, in that sort of a stricter European background that, you know, we have hard lives. You know, life was hard and you deal with it and you deal with what comes on a daily basis. It was not easy. You know, when I was in my 20s, I had an autoimmune disorder that had started. I have Epstein-Barr and chronic fatigue, which led me down a path of a really unhealthy life. Eventually I ended up having cancer before my first son was born. I didn't know if I was going to be able to actually have children, but God willing, I was able to. And then I had my second daughter. I was working at GM. I was an assembly line worker for almost 30 years. I retired after 30 years. And it was hard. It was really hard, especially when my first husband and I, it was a difficult marriage and I had to come out of it. I didn't have a choice but to come out of it. And then I had to worry about looking after my kids and how was I going to do that? Now, I am very, very grateful that I was working at GM because I had a steady income coming in. And having to work shift work, you know, you're paying for not just a daycare babysitter, but when you start at 6 o'clock in the morning, there are no daycares open. So you're paying premiums to have people come into your home and look after your children to come very early in the morning and sometimes stay later. And there were times where I was working 12-hour shifts. I did that, I think, for 4 years, almost 7 days a week, because I had the expenses that had to be paid. And when you're working shift work, you have to have a babysitter, not just for the time that you're at work, but for the time that you come home and sleep in the morning. So you're paying double. So there were times where I was paying, you know, over $400 a week just for babysitting. And then I had, you know, the house expenses, the car expenses, insurance expenses, food, diapers, everything else on top of it. So it really was no wonder that my health really took its toll. With being sick, I ended up having, I had cervical cancer before my son. I had it again. And then I ended up with bladder cancer down the road as well. So I've been able to overcome all of them and find my triumphs in those areas. So I'm very grateful for that. But you know what, you have to figure it out. You have to find ways to figure it out. So I went on this journey to search. I didn't know what was going to happen. My livelihood, the auto industry, was taking a hit. I didn't know if I'd have a job anymore. So I had to come up with plan Bs, and I had to search ways to find out how I'm going to be able to take care of my family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is such a challenge. I mean, when you're a single mom, you don't have the opportunity to have luxury time or luxury items or whatever you want to call it. Your main focus is survival and the survival of your children and the happiness of the home. So how did you manage to find a way to do that?
Well, as I said, I worked a lot of hours. Now, I was very lucky because I am married again, and I met my second husband actually at work. He was a really good friend at the time. We became really good friends while we were working there. And then when the time was right, we did end up getting together. So I did find happiness again. But it's so interesting because he always says that, you know, God really put us together. Because I needed somebody who, coming out of a difficult marriage, you know, there was, you know, a lot of verbal and some physical abuse and sexual abuse in there as well. I needed somebody who had not just faith, but somebody who had a heart, somebody who was going to really be my champion. And he really is. Like he is. I always say that, you know, you can't get as close to perfect as you can with him. And I know you know that all too well, because your husband and my husband are very similar. And I think that when you go through such challenges and you do come out on the other side and you find somebody who just fits, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that, you know, you're brought together for a reason, and you have these people who come into your life. And they become your champion and kind of make life easier for you. So I think he was a really big reason why my life started to shift and turn. He's actually the one who got me back into my faith, which is a really interesting little side story there, you know, because when you're going through all of these challenges, as much as you do want to grasp onto your faith, you do oftentimes find yourself in that position of why would God let this happen to me? Why would I be going through all of this? So you do have those doubts. You do have, you know, you can lose your way in your faith, but here's the thing that's so amazing. It doesn't matter how much you lose your faith, God hasn't lost you.
That is so true. And, you know, I think that losing faith during the beginning stages of the journey is quite normal.
Yes.
And I think maybe that's a little test for us to find out, give us the time and space to try to figure things out for ourselves. And when we always can't find the answers, faith is always sitting there, and God's always sitting there waiting for us to say, hey, I'm over here. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we eventually find our way back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of answers to be found.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the same is true for even people who aren't believers, you know. Okay. Part of my philosophy is, yes, I am a Christian. That is my faith walk. But I also believe that people who are non-believers really follow the same sort of pattern, although they might be reaching out to something else or something different. You know, a lot of people today say the universe, and they're, you know, some people are Buddhist, some people are, you know, they don't have a faith because they've got so much going on in their life that they just don't believe that, how can all of this happen to me? They're in that space, right? Yeah. So I think that no matter where you are in a faith walk or not in a faith walk, I think angels are sent to you, because I think that people are fundamentally good at best. And I truly believe, you know, Jesus loved everybody. It didn't matter if you had a faith. It didn't matter if you didn't have a faith. If you didn't have a faith, he didn't ignore you. You know, he reached out to you even more, you know, to show you that there are people out there who care about you. And I think that that's what we need to do. And, you know, when I met Dan, my husband, that's what he did for me. You know, he said, I got you back. I got you back here. And it was so interesting, because when we did get together, it was let's be friends first and see where this takes us. We don't need to rush, because if it's supposed to be, it's all going to work out anyway. So he's a man of tremendous morals. Yeah.
And extreme wisdom, I think.
A lot of wisdom. Yeah. A lot of wisdom. Yeah.
Sounds like it, for sure. Yeah. So it's always nice, you know, and you mentioned about faith and how that's different for each person. And faith is a belief in something.
Yes.
Whatever that looks like, right? For you, for me.
It's whatever that looks like for you. And I don't like it, because, you know, it's interesting, because people have so many different brands of religion today, and brands of Christianity, and brands of whatever it is that you believe in. But fundamentally, it's all that we do believe in something. We do have something that we go to as our higher power. Whatever that looks like for you, then that's your faith walk, right? For me, again, it's following the Christian, you know, the Bible and so on and so forth, and that's what I do. But it really isn't, you know, one way or the other way. What makes this right? What makes that wrong? I believe that Jesus loved everybody, and that's the walk that I want. Is I want a love walk and a faith walk, and I want to follow those steps. And that's what I do in my practice and in my faith practice.
That's wonderful, and I think that's to be highly commended. You know, because a lot of us forget or misplace that faith.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever the case may be, but if we can find it and pull it back into our lives and make it a central focal point of who we are, what we believe in, that there's so much good that can come from us and from everyone around us.
Absolutely.
It just radiates out, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. When, you know, people say to me all the time, especially my friends, oh, you're the nice one and you're the kind one. And, you know, like, we'll have conversations and, you know, different topics come up, especially with what's going on today, you know, with the coronavirus going on and all of this stuff going on in the world and how much the world has changed. And I just, you know, I try to still give people the benefit of the doubt, because fundamentally I do believe that people are good at heart. I think that we've lost our way, and that's just part of being human.
Yes.
We aren't meant to be perfect people.
No.
We are meant to find our path. And I always look at it this way, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from the movie Letters to Juliet. I don't know if you've seen it. It has Amanda Siegfried in it. It's a fabulous movie. It's about a woman who... she goes to Italy, this young woman, she wants to be a journalist. She helps these secretaries to Juliet. Women go there and they pour out their heart in letters and they stick them on these walls. And these women, these secretaries, they come and they take them and they answer every letter. Well, while she's there, she finds this one letter. And this letter is 50 years old and it was hidden behind a brick. And she answers the letter, and it's Vanessa Redgrave who plays the woman, and she, 50 years later, goes to see if she can find her lost love. And it's so fabulous. And she has a grandson who's in the car who goes on this trip with her, and he's very skeptical, not because he's a negative person, but because he's so passionate about keeping his grandmother safe and having her feelings come first. He's worried that she's going to get hurt and have heartache. So there's some pushback in there as well, right? Which is fabulous for any story. But they're in a car, and I'll never forget this. They're driving in Verona in Italy, and they're going to all these different houses searching for this love of hers to see if he's still alive. And he's, you know, the grandson is saying something, yes, but, you know, he says, you know, we're just in a mess. Like, this is a mess. We've been going here and here and here. And she says, but life is the messy bit. And that has always stuck with me from the time that movie came out. So I remind my husband even once in a while, right, because as perfect as he is in my world, you know, he wants things to always run smoothly, right, with our kids and trying to, you know, mentor them to have a positive life and, you know, understanding goals and budgeting and the whole bit when you're teaching them. And he would just say, oh, well, if they would only, or if, you know, this would only. And I said, Dan, we just can't sit and watch squirrels all day. Like, life is the messy bit. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we learn to, you know, actually reach out to our faith and say, you know, I need help, or where do I turn, or how do I handle this? We can't grow as a person fundamentally or spiritually if we don't have any chaos in our life.
Well, that's true, and it would be boring. Is all
how good. Boring would that be? Exactly, it would be so boring.
No kidding. So, how did you put all this into play to help you get over your shyness?
Oh gosh, that's so funny. Yes, because I'm sure everybody watching this is like, okay, this is not a shy person.
Oh yeah, you're so shy. I know. That.
Not anymore. So when I worked at GM, so again, you have to understand, I came from a European background. You do what you're told, you follow, you know, your parents sort of set you onto what you were going to do. Well, most of my family worked at GM, so it was just automatic that I was going to work at GM, right? So I started there at a very young age, at 17, and as a student first, and then I got hired full time. I actually wanted to be a nurse, but that didn't fall into play for whatever reason, which is so funny because all I do is take care of people. So I think that's who I am at my core anyway. But you know what? I was just, at GM, you didn't have to talk to a lot of people. You're on an assembly line. You're not standing beside each other. I mean, I was friendly. Don't get me wrong. I was friendly, but I was comfortable within my own circle. But if somebody new came in, I was always the first one to kind of welcome them, but I held back. I didn't really want to get to know people because I didn't want people to get to know the real me. It was very scary for me. I was extremely overweight because I ate all my feelings, you know. So I had that whole issue that I had to deal with. And then it was when I got sick, okay, when I really got sick, I spent 12 years with that autoimmune disorder, probably 80% of my time in bed.
Oh.
Yeah, and trying to work. I was lucky if I made a 40-hour week. And again, I'm grateful that I was working at GM because the sickness and accident benefits, I really should have been fired for the amount of time that I took off work. But I would go to work. By this time, Dan and I were now together. I would go to work and come home and go to bed. He took care of the kids for me. He took care of the house. If I was, you know, all I did was sleep because it was chronic fatigue, right, with Epstein-Barr. If I could put a 40-hour weekend, I was really lucky. So that was really hard. So how it all started, and I'll really make it a short curve. I got involved with a network marketing company that I didn't know I was involved with. I had started, it's funny, it's so funny how this all played out. I was praying for a closer relationship with God. And I would pray at work for a closer relationship with God. And I had this gentleman come up to me and try to offer me a business when network marketing really became big. And I was like, man, I can't even take care of my kids. I don't want no business. So I kept pushing him away and pushing him away and pushing him away. And so much so, 2 years later, I got bumped to another area to work, and I started feeling sick and thought I'd have to go home. And this woman said to me, are you okay? And I said, actually, I'm not. I have an autoimmune disorder. I'm not feeling very good. I think I'm going to have to go home. And she goes, oh, she says, have you ever heard of, and she mentioned the company name, and I looked at her, and my words exactly to her, and I'll keep the profanity as if I said, oh gosh, not you too, although there were some experts in there.
Uh-huh.
I said, what is this, a conspiracy? And she goes, I want you to listen to my story. And this is the first time that I really understood the power of a story, of somebody's other walk other than my own. Take myself out of the equation, because I think I was so wrapped in everything that I had to do, and I had to be, and I had to be for other people, that you don't even realize other people suffer.
Absolutely, you can't see beyond your own
space. You can't see past, you're in your own space. So basically what she told me is that she was dealing with fibromyalgia, and at that time it was not really heard of, it really wasn't a mainstream illness. And she said, these products really helped me. So I had gone home and I talked to Dan, and he said, what is it that we have to lose? And I go, well, it's so expensive. And he said, Linda, you come home and you go to bed. We can't take the kids to the park together. We've never had a vacation together. We have no quality of life, let alone just for you, but as a family. He said, what's it going to hurt? Who cares? Let's try it for 6 months. And if it doesn't work, so what? We're out of money. Big deal. You know, we lose a bit of money. It doesn't matter. But if this can help, my gosh, what can that do for us? So I said, okay. Within 3 weeks, I started to have energy.
Wow.
And after 4 months, well, 3 to 4 months, it's been almost 15 years since I've been sick.
Wow.
From a woman who would get, you know, if I got the 24-hour flu like everybody else, it would put me in bed for 2 weeks, right? So that was the start of it, and then I found out that the company was a faith-based company. So here I was praying for a closer relationship with God. 2 weeks later, this gentleman invites me to be part of this company. I pushed back and pushed back for 2 years, and God said, no, if you're not going to listen to him, I'm going to stick you in front of somebody else.
That's usually the way it goes, isn't it?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, I do not believe in coincidence. I don't.
No.
Because I believe that he never gives up on you. Right?
Yes.
So that's how it started. And the next thing I didn't even know it was a business. I was just taking stuff to feel better. And then I got a phone call that said, congratulations, you're the first comedian to earn a cruise. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, this is your upline. I said, what's an upline? And they said, well, you won the incentive. I said, what's an incentive? Okay, now you got to remember, I'm a factory worker. Doesn't mean that we're not intelligent. It just means those were words that were not in my sphere of influence.
Absolutely.
So they said, my God, we really dropped the ball with you. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, well, you get paychecks, right? And I said, well, I just thought they were referral checks, because people were asking me how I got better, how my son got better, how my dad got better. I just thought it was just kind of like a little kickback. I didn't know it was a business. And the next thing I know, I have a business. Well, it was at that time that the factory work was starting to settle down. I went from working in a city that had 10,000 GM workers to 1,600 GM workers. So we really didn't know. And I worked in what was called the foundry, and it was closing. I didn't know if I was going to have a job or not. And with Dan working there as well, we were like, well, what are we going to do? We've put all this time in. We may not even come out with a pension. We might just have to start over. So this is where now my shyness I had to overcome. I had to learn what networking meant. I had to learn what it was to have a business. So I had no choice but to step outside of my own discomfort and go on a search. So I started taking personal development courses. I went to conferences, which were so funny because I had no idea what I was doing there. I looked like such a frump when I walked in, and all these people in suits and, you know, women with their hair done and makeup done, and I'm like in jeans and a t-shirt and no makeup, and I was just so out of my element. But, there's a whole other story to that too, because I'm friends with very many of them now, some people that you would know by name. And it's just been this constant, you know, God putting somebody in front of me, somebody in front of me, somebody in front of me, new opportunity. A lot of times I push back. Along the way, I met people and people would say to me, like, you're so good at making people feel comfortable. You're so good at just making other people feel like they belong. And then I met somebody who ended up becoming my business coach, and she said, you really need to, you know, like, really tap into that. So I started putting on conferences and I started doing all kinds of different things. And here's the funny part along the way, how I ended up where I am now. My business coach, because I believe everybody needs a business coach. Even business coaches have business coaches.
That's true.
Because you have to have somebody to bounce those ideas out. So she is an atheist. She does not. She's a non-believer. And she is the one who said to me, Linda, you need to tap into your faith because that's where your people are. And I went, are you kidding me? Like, you don't even believe in all that. Like, how are you going to coach me on that? She says, because it's business. You bring the faith into it.
That's right. And it's interesting how the atheist and the faithful person can have two different perspectives, but you can meet.
You can find common ground.
Absolutely. Exactly. And, you know, the faith aspect is your strength.
Yes, right.
Where something else is her strength. So recognizing what your strength is with her strength. So, you know, that's
a phenomenal coach. She's a phenomenal coach, and she coaches based on who her client is, not on what she thinks they should do. So that was such an eye opener for me, because I think that's actually kind of what's the word I want to use? Ironic. Mm-hmm. So here is an atheist who put me on my path to become an ordained minister. So you can't tell me that God does not work in unexpected ways.
Through everyone.
Through everybody.
Absolutely.
Through everybody.
So the main thing you needed to get over was fear.
Fear. You know, I had no confidence. I had to learn how to build up my confidence. I have to, and I still do. There are still times when I get nervous or afraid, and it's just fear popping up, you know, and what's that saying? There's one saying for fear, and I can't remember what it is, but I chose to go in another and say face everything and rise,
mm-hmm.
not take off in the other direction, right? So, if I can always tap into when I get nervous, I go to my higher power. I really tap into that. I ask for strength. I know He's got my back. I know angels have my back, and I have to tell you, immediately I can feel myself. Immediately, I can feel myself feeling better, and I have the words and the power and the knowledge. What needs to come out of my mouth will come out of my mouth to make a difference for somebody else.
That's an incredible gift.
Right? So it's, and they'll say to me, can you say that again? And I'll go, no.
No, that was a one-off.
It doesn't come from here,
yes.
Right? It comes through.
Yes.
And that is my gift. And that's why I chose to go into coaching, because I just, you know what? It is so hard, and I don't want to see people have to go through such a long journey like I did when I can help shorten that curve and give them some tools and some strategies, and we can figure it out together.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go alone.
Absolutely, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we're fighting so much for our own independence,
yeah.
And we're not isolated beings, except for right now, but in normal circumstances, we're communities.
Yes.
And that's how we've always been. And we need the community to help raise us up and keep us honest at the same time, right? So I think that's, you know, beautiful that you can find what your most incredible gift is.
And well, that's the secret. That's the secret, you know, and often if what comes to you the easiest really is your gift, but a lot of times we push back on that instead of exploring really what comes easy to you, what do people say thank you to the most for, is really what brings you fuel, what fulfills you.
Yeah. Now, do you think when you push back like that, and when you did push back on those couple of occasions. Do you think it was a fear-based pushback?
Because absolutely.
Yeah. It was something new, something I was terrified of. I haven't got space to go there.
I would say a little bit. It's interesting because it was for me, and it's for a lot of people that I do talk to or coach with. It's not always just the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of what is success going to look like for me.
Right.
Because you're afraid because my life is going to change, yeah. Right? So there's that fear. There's that one side of fear that what people are going to think about me, right? Because now if I do this, because your friends will start to push back. People are human, and humans are me. What about me? So when you start to grow as a person, right? When you start to grow spiritually or as a person, or you become more knowledgeable, they then have fear, right? So now what are you to them now? Because it changes. So a lot of people start to push back because you're no longer feeding what they need, you're feeding what you need, and they don't like it.
Well, the also other aspect is you're changing, you're growing, and they feel fear because you're maybe no longer going to have space for them.
Exactly.
And you'll leave.
You can't meet their goals that they have for you for them, if that makes sense. Like people are, if you're not meeting what they need, then they push back and they get angry. I mean, if you're always doing things for people, for example, if you're always doing things for your friends, right? And you're always there for them. Now, suddenly, you are accomplishing things that is going to take up time for yourself. So you're now doing other things. You don't always have the time for them. Then you get the, well, why are you being such a bee? Or why are you being this? Or, oh, she doesn't have time for us anymore. Well, that's not true. She's taking time for herself to make herself a better person so she can have more space for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't understand that because their own fear comes into place. So there's that one side of the fear. And then the other side of the fear is, oh my gosh, what's it going to look like for me if I actually do become successful? That it's scary. How am I going to manage this? How am I going to manage money I'm not used to? How am I going to manage, going here and going there? Because your whole life can change. Because again, that's that other side. You're not available as often to take care of the people who have always relied on you.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And you may have to travel. You may have to do all sorts of other things.
Exactly.
Things you haven't done before. So there sets in the, oh my goodness, you know, what do I have to do now? I don't understand. Whereas before I was comfortable because I was in my own little world of whatever
right.
that may be, but very static and no happiness, maybe no joy.
Well, here's the thing, Teresa. When your world is always taking care of other people because you are so, you have very little confidence in yourself, so you project everything you do to be good and kind and helpful and nurturing and caring to everybody else. Because that is a way to escape from having to deal with your own stuff.
Yeah, very true.
Right? It is a very important thing because people who dote on other people and nurture and do and do and do and do and do, it's because they're not ready to talk about or deal with or find their true self. So they put all that on everybody else, but other people get used to that. So when all of a sudden you find the courage to take some steps to find out who you are and to say, you know what, I have valuable gifts that I want to do. I still want to do this, but I have to have something for me too. There comes that point in everybody's life when it's like, oh, you know, for men it might be in their 40s or 50s and they say, oh, they're having their midlife crisis. But I think that when we get into that age, we suddenly realize that, you know what? I'm important. And maybe I need to explore what I want to do. So there's that fear on that as well, because now if I have to look within myself and I could be successful, there's a fear factor there. So fear plays in everything we do in life. The triumph of it is knowing how to find victory in that.
Good point. And how do you do that, Linda?
Well, you have to take steps, right? Some people are going to want to do it by themselves, and that's fine. It'll be longer, and that's okay if that's what they want to do. You can find a lot of information online. You can watch great podcasts like we're doing right now to get some information. Start listening to different podcasts. Watch things online based on what interests you to find out what interests you. It's like a young person who goes to university for the first time. They might be going for this. But once they're there, a world of information opens up to them and they find, you know what, I think I want to go in this direction instead. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we don't even know what the direction is going to be, because I sure as heck didn't think I'd be doing what I'm doing now.
You and me.
You know, and then there's that.
We're both kind of led into our past where we are today. And it is, I have to say it. It's so ironic that we have mutual people in friendship and from my childhood.
I know that was so bizarre to me when I read your book. I was like calling you, oh my God, my husband's from there. Do you know this person? And it was so interesting. And by the way, everybody, her book is phenomenal. I've read it actually twice.
Did you?
I have read it twice.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Linda, for that. But
anyway. You're very welcome. I'm getting off topic. So we
need to. Okay.
You know what? You find triumph by taking the little courageous steps. It doesn't have to happen all at once. It just has to be, if you take one step, okay, one step, and you take that same step every day. It might be getting up earlier every day to do something special for yourself. Maybe it's 10 minutes of yoga. Maybe it's 10 minutes of meditation. Maybe you want to go for a walk every morning. Maybe it's just to get up and have a cup of tea and have breakfast with your significant other or with your children. It might be, I'm going to read a book with my kids every night. When you do positive steps, what happens is you have neurology, and you have actually a neurological system in your body. When you say things out loud that are positive, your neurological system starts to hang on to that. Your unconscious doesn't understand what you think. It understands what you say. It gives direction, right? So if you say all the time, oh my God, I'm so bad at this. Well, it's going to say, okay. And then what happens is it spirals. And your whole neurological system says you're really bad at this. How do you come out of that? It's in you now. So you have to purposefully say, I'm really good at this. I'm getting better at this. I can do this. Yeah. So if you take one little step saying something positive every day, right? And you take one little step of doing something different that's meaningful to you every day. Start with that. If you're really struggling and you need help, look, find a coach. Look, there's lots of really good coaches out there. There's coaches for everything. Maybe you're having trouble finding, you know, the right person. Get a dating coach. You know, maybe you're having problems figuring out what it is that you need to do in business. Find a business coach. You know, I'm a life coach. I'm a personal coach. So it's kind of like I can guide you what steps you need to do, give you strategies, help you figure it out together, because when you have an extra person helping you, you get the right ideas. And you have to go to people. If you are going to look for a coach, make sure you're going to somebody who has been there, done it, done the talk, doing the walk, and is smarter than you.
I would totally agree with that, because I had the experience of a lady in town here. She's in her 50s. She was looking for a life coach, and this 20-year-old some odd girl was trying to life coach her. That to me seems so wrong. The girl had no experience in life whatsoever, really no experience as a coach other than a textbook. So, you know, that was a no-win situation all the way around.
It's not to say that she's not knowledgeable and she doesn't have the fundamental skills, but like you said, you also have to have a life experience.
Yeah.
So young people who are starting in life coaching business, you know, their focus might be on, you know, teenagers and people going into college and all of that kind of stuff. Because I'll tell you, today, if my children were younger today, now my kids are gone and they're on their own. But if I was in a position today and I had teenagers or younger kids, I would not want to be a kid today, and I'd be getting life coaches for them. Because mom as much as we love them, we're too close. They don't tell us everything.
Very true.
They don't want to tell us everything, but they'll feel comfortable with somebody who's a little older than them, a little smarter than them. We're like, oh, you're old. That was in the old days. You don't know what you're talking about. Right?
Right.
And I get it. I get it. I was the same way as a kid.
Oh, yeah. We all
I
were.
I get it.
That's normal, right?
I think. But I think you have to find people who have gone on a path. I think people looking for a business coach always find somebody smarter than you, because why do you need them then?
Well,
you need somebody who knows more than you, who can give you some strategies, who can say, try this, try this, try this.
And give you a different perspective as well.
Absolutely.
You know, we sometimes get our mindset that this is actually how we're going to do it, no matter what. And yet somebody...
Life doesn't work that way, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You have to take the blinders off and just kind of, you know, explore.
Absolutely. You know, my friend who was a nurse from years ago, she did a lot of fostering children, but she took in a lot of children who were physically, mentally challenged with severe issues. And she used to say to me all the time, because I'd say to her, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? She says, watch. And, you know, it could be something as simple as she would take elastic like and string it through an old thread spool. And she would tie it on their high chair, on the table part of the high chair. And because one of the children she had, they said, would never walk, never talk, never be able to move. And she would take his arm and pull it, and he could pull it towards him and then let it go, and it would go bing, 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 and he liked the noise. So eventually he started reaching out for himself, right? He wanted to hear that ding, 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 because it made him laugh. He was only about, maybe about 25, 26 months old at that time. And she said, if a child doesn't learn the way you teach, you need to teach the child the way they're going to learn.
Oh,
one
very good.
Size does not fit all.
No.
Not for children, not for teenagers, not for young adults, not for adults, and not for seniors.
That's
we are all different. And you have to find, you know, maybe somebody in their 50s is going to be comfortable with somebody who's in their 20s to teach them, because they want to find that youth again.
Yeah.
They want to be more playful in their life. Or somebody in their 20s might want to go to somebody who's older because they like their life experience. I think if somebody is dealing with a lot of challenges, such as an abusive marriage, or, you know, they can't find the right job or this or that, you need to go to somebody who has walked your path or has what you need.
Yeah.
What is it you're looking for, and how can they solve that problem for you together?
Right.
You know, and ask questions. It's different. But for a coach, it has to be somebody who's willing to walk the journey with you.
Right. And on that note, you don't have to accept the first coach you go in contact with.
Absolutely not.
Interview them.
Well, that's just it. They're there to support you. And if it's like getting a doctor, right? Today, I know doctors are so far and few between, but I fired doctors. I have fired doctors before because I said, you know what, you're not willing to work with me here. You work for me. I don't have to take what you say at face value. If you're not willing to explain to me why you want me to do what you're doing, you know, I had one doctor say to me, I wanted to get off all these medications. And he was like, well, then stay sick. And my husband said, is that her file there? And he said, yes. He says, can I see it? He goes, sure, it's her file. He goes, great. Thanks for your services. You're fired. And we walked out.
Good for you.
So just like with coaching, if you're going to have a coach who's just going to mandate to you what you have to do, instead of working within, where is this person at right now? What are they comfortable with? How far can I push them? How far are they willing to be pushed? You know, for me, being an ordained minister and a Christian, I like to coach with a spiritual perspective, but I also like to use, you know, professional coaching methods to get them there.
Yes.
Not everybody I coach with is a Christian. It's, what does this person need? Do they want spiritual guidance? Do they want to have some scripture put in? Does it make them do better when they have scripture, or does it do better and they don't want to talk about that at all? So it's where are they in this moment that you have to work with to get them to the next step. It's a journey. It's a stepping stone. So I would probably end all of this off with, you know, you have to think about that footsteps in the sand, right?
Oh, very good.
One step in front of the other, yeah. Right? You don't always see where that path is going to go, and you don't always know who's carrying you, because God's going to put the right people in space with you.
Absolutely. That was beautifully said.
Every time.
Yeah, that was beautifully said, Linda. I thank you so much for sharing, because, you know, you and I are very similar in what we do and our paths and where we've come from, and we've incorporated everything that we are passionate about and that we've been given as gifts to this world.
Yeah.
To help everyone else in this world. So
yeah.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome. You know, I'll just end it off with one quick thing here, and then I want to show you, because I honestly, to your audience, I thought this, we were just going to be talking, it was going to be an audio. So I wasn't going to be able to show it, but now I can. So my ultimate quote, or my ultimate scripture, has always been Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And it's an interesting story, because the number 4 has always been my favorite number. And the number 13, when my son was born on the 13th, became my favorite number. And I didn't put the two together, honestly, till about 2 years ago that it hit me. Oh my God, 4:13, Philippians 4:13. So here's the funny thing I want to show you. It's kind of ironic. I've always pushed back on my daughter. My son's never wanted tattoos. My daughter has several tattoos. She loves them. They are beautiful, I will say. But I was always worried about, you know, when you get older, are you going to want it, blah, blah, blah. But I had to learn that she was an adult and she could make her own choices. I got a tattoo, Teresa. I was in Nova Scotia with a good friend of both of ours, Stacy. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, because I said, oh my gosh, it came to me there, and I said, I need to get a tattoo. She goes, oh, you'll never get into my guy, because it takes months to get into him. And I said, no, I think you should call him. She goes, no, Linda, you're never going to get in. And I said, yeah, but I have a guy. And she goes, you're never going to get in. So we're driving in the car, coming back from a conference. We were down there for a conference. And she picks up the phone and she calls and she goes, oh, okay. She goes, she looks at me. She goes, are you kidding me? She goes, you can go in half an hour. And I said, I told you, I have a guy. So I don't know if it's going to be backwards though on the screen, but I want to show you. Is it backwards on the screen?
Well, I see 4:13 on the right hand.
It says faith.
4:13. Yes, I like it.
I have a tattoo.
Wow.
And you know why? Because every time I find myself in fear, every time I feel myself overwhelmed, every time I'm not sure what direction I go to, I look at this, I place my hand on it, and I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know immediately where to go, who to call, where, what book to look in, what scripture to find. Maybe I just need to go talk to my husband. Maybe I need a friend to call who's going to get me out of the crazy zone at the moment, right? But that's my go-to strength.
That is incredible.
Yes.
Linda, thank you. Thank you so much. I do we have... are you willing to share your details, how people can get in touch with you?
Oh, for sure. Well, you can get, so my last name is spelled kind of wonky, and Teresa will probably have all the information on her site, but it's Linda, and then it's S-Z-T-A-N-K-O. So it's just lindastanko.com is my website. And there's links on there if you want to book. You could book a 30-minute discovery call with me if you like. I'm on social media, and I've given Teresa the social media links, because there's one that's only Stanko. The rest are all Linda Stanko, or I think they might all be Linda Stanko.
All
Linda Stanko?
I think they're all Linda Stanko.
Okay. So it's just any social media platform, Linda Stanko, and my website's my name, So it's easy to find me.
You know what? Simplicity is always the best.
Simplicity is the best.
Well, thank you, Linda. Thank you, Sherry. I know this is going to empower a lot of people. And, you know, we can all power through our own lives if we just ask for help when needed, ask for guidance when necessary.
Right. Take a breath. And I'll let you know, Teresa, I'm not sure when it's launching, but I'm going to be having a podcast that'll come out. So some of your listeners might or might not be interested, but it's going to be called Faith Talk.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's
called Faith Talk, and I'm starting a Facebook group as well. It is a private one, so anybody who's interested, come on in, get to know us.
Fantastic. And with that, I thank you all for listening to Powering Through Life with my incredible guest, Linda Stankel.
Thanks so much for having me.
That brings to a close another great, inspiring interview on Powering Through Life. Thank you to my incredible guest for sharing your thoughts and wisdoms with our listeners. If you would like to connect with us, go to www.teresasims.com. And there you will also find all the previous segments from many amazing and inspiring people. Remember, don't be shy. Reach out if you have any questions or just leave me a comment. So thank you once again for listening to Powering Through Life.